The following is part one of one of our Patreon-exclusive bonus campaigns. To listen to the rest, go to patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well, then Flip a Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty-gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials, so stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Muppet Alien is an absurd, over-the-top horror comedy adventure intended for older audiences. The content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions. Hello and welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien, a horror comedy actual play based on Free League's Alien RPG module Chariot of the Gods, and starring some of the company's zaniest ragmop creations. I'm your host, backstage manager, and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
So jumping right into it. You are space truckers on the star freighter USCSS Montero, running the Gauntlet, the trade route between Interpoint Station and the frontier. Your ship's cargo hold is packed with dozens of tanks of dangerous tritium gas that is in the process of decaying into the extremely profitable helium-3. Usually, cargoes such as these are located in massive tanker modules that transport much higher concentrations of the gas a safe distance from the freighter. The Montero isn't rigged as a commercial trucking vehicle, however. And this is a small order for a Weyland-Yutani corporate account on Sutter's World, a newly established frontier colony. While the trip so far has been fairly routine, the Montero's sensors developed a glitch before you left Anchor Point and sporadically pinged contact with a sensor reflection before you activated the displacement drive and went FTL. Your cargo run so far has been without incident. Now you're just awakening from hypersleep, ready to deliver your goods to the colony of Sutter's World. So we open on board this small trade vessel, the Montero. In this room, it is dark. The lights slowly come up on this sterile white room with pods laid out in a sort of flower arrangement in the middle of the room, with each pod kind of like a little petal. And as the lights turn on, power starts to come back. The voice of the ship's mother unit chimes in.
Deactivating hypersleep pods.
And with a hint, the pods begin to open, and you kind of shake off the rust. You've been asleep for maybe a year, which in terms of hypersleep isn't the worst. It leaves you a little bit groggy, a little dehydrated, but nothing you can't handle. So let's introduce our first character, which will be Dan. Tell us who your character name is and who that character is being portrayed by.
Hello, everyone. It's very fun to be on this side of things for once. I'm Danger Dangers. And I will be playing Lyran Cham, as played by Sweetums. I'm the handler on the USCSS Montero. I'm a roughneck who grew up alone, sold to power loaders in the frontier. I was hopping from colony to colony and never really found any friends or family until I met this crew. And I love these guys.
Yay!
And Jordan, would you like to go next?
Hi, I'm Jordan. I'm playing Leah Davis, who is being portrayed by Gonzo the Great.
Hell yeah.
I'm Pilot Davis, and I am the best pilot of this side of the frontier colony. You guys ready for that for 8+ hours?
Oh, we haven't gotten to mine yet. You just buckle right on in.
Yes.
Well, Aaron, then, do you want to tackle that one next?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron. I will be playing Vanessa Miller, the captain of the USCSS Montero, as portrayed by Miss Peaky.
Yes!
Fantastic. Oh, God.
being a corporate cog and want out. I'm trying to buy this Montero on like a lease to buy option, but I need to replace a whole bunch of its bad parts. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, everyone.
I'm thrilled.
This is going to be a serious horror game. A very serious horror game.
The real horror is my impression.
Ben, are you ready to go?
Yep, I'm good to go. Hi, everyone. I'm Ben Magnet, and I play John J. Wilson, as portrayed by
Sam the Eagle, the most patriotic of the Montero crew. I've been with the Montero crew for a good 6 months, and I'm the corporate liaison for our great overlords, Weyland-Yutani Corporation, or America. I might get the two mixed up, because America's the greatest!
That's a really solid Sam Eagle.
Yeah!
Why, thank you.
And Grayson, are you ready?
Hello, I'm Grayson. I'll be playing the character Rizzo, but the alien character that I'll be playing is Kayla Rye, the technician of the USCSS Montero, and mostly all about money.
So, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna be all about the money, and we're gonna be trying to make sure that all I do is figure out how to get some scratch, so that way I can, of course, send it back to my little brother who's chronically sick back on Earth. But none of y'all know that, so...
Yes!
Fuck, you all are crushing it.
Give yourself some credit. Your piggy's better than you give it credit for.
Well, it's pretty solid. It's like, you've got it right there.
It's so good.
We will see how it lasts. It might decay.
So, you all wake yourselves up from hypersleep, shake off that rust, and meet up in the galley, which is a good chance if you want to do some chit-chatting, catching up on events or anything.
Well, the first thing I do when I wake up from hypersleep is stretch, get up out of my pod, and immediately conk my head up against the ceiling. So as I lumber my way in towards the rest area, at a slight hunch, as I'm making my way through two low of doors, I lumber my way over to the eating area and pull out a gigantic ostrich leg. Start chowing down.
I'll stand up, fix my wig, smooth out the like satin trim on my spacesuit, and walk over to Davis.
A year wasn't too long of a sleep, was it? Nice and smooth.
And Davis is gonna get up.
Well, that's enough sitting around doing nothing. Hey, Captain Miller, if it's okay with you, I think we should speed things along a little bit, make things a little more interesting.
Ooh, absolutely! Get on over there!
He's like, all right!
And then Gonza's gonna start heading over to the, to where pilots go, to the controls, to the bridge.
Yeah, so you are a little dehydrated, so I recommend you stop to hydrate at least.
Yeah. I'm a little parched.
Oh, God, the sound.
Top tier Foley work.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, I'm actually slurping over here.
So for Sam the Eagle, when Sam's pod is opening up, as it's opening up, you just hear... Bum, 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 bum.
His pod is just covered in ornate little speakers.
Yeah.
Just so you guys can, like, barely hear it outside the room.
Yeah, you can hear the national anthem play, and Sam just wakes up and goes,
George Washington, my head!
I just, like, get up, and I'm, like, rubbing my temples, to make sure my beak is okay, and I'm just like,
I could have slept a little shorter. This was too long to be asleep for America. I mean, Weyland-Yutani.
And I just...
God, I'm gonna love that bit.
And I just, like, slowly grumble and walk my way towards the galley to get something to drink and hopefully try to find some migraine medication.
So as Sam Eagle is lumbering over, you just see, like, a small dash, and it's this little tiny brown figure that's rushing off to the kitchen area.
Ah, heck yeah. We're gonna eat some food, get some grub. Oh, right. Sam, you said you needed those headache meds, right?
Well, if you're going to keep talking like that, then I probably need more headache medication.
Well, if you'd be making comments like that, I'm going to have to charge you. But, those...
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, all right? So this is what we got to do. We got to try and get some money together, and then you pay me, and then I'm going to go get you your meds.
Or, and listen to me real closely here, I just go get the medication and make sure you stay employed by the Great America. I mean, Weyland-Yutani. How's that?
That's assuming that you're going to be able to find it, buddy.
And he zooms off.
Do you run past the dining hall?
Yeah, he's headed straight for the dining hall first because he's looking for that whole chicken that he could just, like, chow down on because that's his secret talent. Just eat a whole chicken in like a minute.
The sawdust.
As I finish up unhinging my jaw to get this ostrich leg devoured, bone and all, I see you run in and I will toss you a full rotisserie chicken and say, oh, hey, little buddy, I saved you some food.
Ah, heck yeah. Thanks so much, champ.
What's your character's name again? Rye.
Yeah.
Anything for you, Rye.
You're just the bestest, ain't you, champ?
Aw, shucks.
He's gonna plop down the chicken, and then he's just gonna start chowing down, stop halfway.
Hey, Jim, you got those headache meds on you?
Would I know where to find headache medicine?
Yeah, there is a med lab nearby on the ship. They would have, you know, minor things. It's mostly for bigger things like medical emergencies, but it would have some smaller stuff in there.
I would like to say at this time, this is when Davis comes in, and... He's gonna say, oh, are you guys getting headache medicine for Wilson?
Yeah, you can say that.
I can grab that for you. It's no biggie. I just came here for a glass of water anyways.
Oh, really? That would be great.
Yeah, of course.
I'll just follow you.
Yeah, come on, Rizzo. I mean, Rye.
You guys go on ahead. I'll catch up with you later.
All right, thanks, old buddy. Right.
The system pings on and goes,
you're supposed to stay in character. Remember your leads. Remember you're in character.
And that's it. It just cuts off with that.
Right.
Whatever
right.
You say, mother.
From off screen, you just hear.
Oh boy, that's gonna be real complicated later.
It's complicated now.
I choose not to think too heavily on it. Thanks for the instruction, Mom.
So, does that mean that Davis and Ryer are going to go to the med lab real quick?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, if you want to walk, it's like a minute from the galley. It's an easy walk. When you get inside, there's like a medicine cabinet, like a small pharmacy with just a bunch of miscellaneous medications in there. And you both can find an aspirin. It's easy enough to get.
All right. I'm sure one of these is the headache medicine.
And Davis is gonna start just like grabbing so many pills, just filling up a big bag full of pills.
You know what, Davis? I'm gonna have you do our first roll for the game.
Oh. Awesome. All right.
I'm going to have Davis roll observation. Their wit status 3 and their observation status 2, which means Jordan will have to roll 5 dice. All of them D6s. If she rolls any 6s, she succeeds. If she doesn't roll any 6s at all, she fails. All
right. Womp womp.
So there are no successes. So you can choose, if you would like, to push the roll and attempt to re-roll it. You will gain a level of stress, which will take effect after this roll and come into effect later on.
And what does stress do?
Stress will give you another dice. That extra dice will be added to all future rolls. But if you ever roll a 1 on that stress dice, you will roll an effect on the panic table. And that's when things get fun.
I'll hold off for now.
So you look and you see all these medicines that have really fancy names that just sound like wizards. And you have no idea which one is the headache medicine. So you just throw them all into the bag.
Yeah, I look at one of them and I'm like, well, I'm a pilot, not a medic.
Xavantheus. What a weird name.
Yeah, that's probably does something. Delicious.
Yeah, Rye is going to have a basket with just a whole bunch of stuff ready to go. And you could just pour whatever and everything in there that you find.
Oh, yeah. Pile it up. But there's so many that it fills up the basket and overflows over you. And you're just completely at the bottom of this mound of medication.
At this point, there is nothing left in the med lab pharmacy. It is completely either all on the floor or in the bag.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Just the way we like it.
This completely sterile room just has a bunch of stuff on the floor now.
Yeah, it's fine.
Any chance I could walk in on this chaos happening or no?
Oh, absolutely. You can hear the rattling of the bottles, and I assume you're hearing Gonzo reading off medication names.
So Wilson, like, goes into the med bay. He has a mug of black coffee in his hand, because black coffee is the only type of coffee that was made during the American Revolution, don't you know? And he just waltzes right in and goes, "What is happening here?"
Hey, John. And I'm going to grab a pill bottle at random and go, "This one will probably help you out." And I dunk it right in the coffee.
Pill bottle and all?
Pill bottle and all. There you go. That'll fix you up.
Wilson, I'll let you also do an observation roll.
Hey.
Oh.
All right. You, with your one success, can tell this is definitely just an antacid.
Dave, you're drinking all that black coffee.
And it just starts to fizzle like Alka-Seltzer.
Did Gonzo even open the bottle? Or is it just a closed bottle of pills just floating in the coffee?
It's a closed bottle of pills, but there's enough of an opening that it just starts to, like, carbonate the coffee.
Yeah.
I take the bottle out and I shake it off. I just look at it as a, "This is antacid. This will not help my affliction." And I give the bottle back as like, "And next time, just try to read the bottle before you dump it in my coffee."
While this is happening, because Rizzo is held down by so much weight, he can't move as quick. And you just see the mound of pills just slowly moving just in a random direction.
Hey, let me help you out there, Rye. And I'm going to like take some of the pills off of him and like pocket a few.
Huh, jeez. We have so much pills.
Yeah.
Hey, Jordan, do me a favor and add to your inventory random pills.
Yeah, all right.
While this is all happening, Davis, you notice a sound. You know the sound of a ding, ding. That is a sign from the bridge beacon that it's getting a signal.
Oh, all right. Something interesting. Come on, let's go, Rye. We'll meet up with everybody else there.
While that's happening, Mother chimes in.
"Captain Miller to the mainframe room, please."
"Oh, are you looking for moi?"
And then I will slowly strut my way down over to the mainframe room.
Yeah, I can see it perfectly.
Miss Piggy, like, fixes her wig before she goes in.
Awesome.
Then I want to just real quickly, as everyone is leaving the med bay, I want to get there exactly after everyone has left.
Do I find the pills I'm looking for?
I won't make you do another observation roll. I'll just say you find some ibuprofen or something.
All right, cool. I take it and I drink it with my semi-carbonate coffee because I just don't want to go back to the galley and then I'll drink it with a coffee. And I just go...
So we will do Davis on the bridge first. You go to the radar and it shows that there's a ship nearby, but you don't see anything outside the window. You lower the blast shields and you can't see anything outside. Give me a comtech roll, and I'm going to give you a +1 because it's your ship and you know it pretty well.
You got it. All right. Let's see.
So with your success, you know that the radar system was kind of on the fritz before you left, and it's continued to be a little fritzy. There's nothing there. It's just a ghost in the machine.
I want to pull out a giant hammer and smack it a few times. Just...
Why did you have to hit me so hard?
Oh, sorry. can you, redo that scan?
Well, since he asked nicely.
And it starts to do its thing. So, cutting over to Captain Miller. As you enter Mother's chambers, it's also a sterile white room like the hypersleep chamber, but there's blinky lights all over it, and in the back there's a terminal, which is where you interface with Mother. You have to type everything out that you want to speak to her. The AI is pretty advanced up to being able to read anything you say, so you could just say hello, you could say whatever you want, and Mother would be able to turn it back and respond to you.
Hello, Mother. What can I do for you?
So you type in, "Hello, Mother, what can I do for you?" It erases what you write and types out,
"Ship redirected, distress beacon registered, unable to translate distress call, ship rerouted to supply support."
Rerouted? What's going on, Frog?
What's going on, Frog? All caps and exclamation points. Erases.
"I'm just following company orders."
Well, as long as it's not too far. out of Moa's way.
And Officer Miller will walk onto the bridge and inform Davis.
We have a distress signal.
Oh?
We're going to help them out.
Are we sure about that?
Davis, give me a comtech roll.
Sure.
Womp womp.
You know, I'ma push it.
Womp womp. Womp. So you kind of sit there and smack the radar system with the hammer. The rest of the system is just like being a bit more difficult, wanting to give you your information because they saw how you decided to fix the initial problem.
That normally works. Well, if I guess we have to.
Our course should already be updated.
Officer Miller, you give me a comtech roll since Davis is having a hard time.
Wah, wah.
So Rizzo watching all of them futz around with the comtech stuff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you want to keep on futzing around with the stuff that maybe you're not too sure about, you could just throw a little scratch my way and I'll go ahead and take care of it for you.
Oh.
Because I do have a 3 in it. I don't know what everyone else's stats are.
mine's a 3 and it looks like Captain Miller's a 2, so
okay, yeah, get in here, right? Scratch.
I am your captain. I'm just gonna tell you to do it.
Well, since it was Miller asking for the thing, I believe we got some stuff that we gotta go do.
And he's gonna just stand at the thing and not actually do it, just because it's Miller.
All right, I activate my ability, pull rank.
Awesome.
I can use my command skill to order other non-officer player characters and NPCs around. To force them to follow my directions, I have to roll command against their manipulation.
All right, Miller, give me a command roll.
1 success.
Hey.
And Rye, roll manipulation.
Hey.
So that's 1 against 1. I'm still going to give this to Miller.
Of course. It's Miller that's got to do this.
So what is the command that you give to Rye to have him fall in line and check out the system?
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for.
And to make sure that it happens.
Hi-ya!
Perfect. Love it. What I will say, though, is Davis has already figured out that the radar blip was a glitch in the system, but what you can have him check is where you are. You have a reason to worry that you are too far off course, and Rye can definitely pop the hood and fiddle around and figure out how far off course you are.
Got it.
We received a course update. Make sure that we're actually going that way.
So I'm going to have Rye make another comtech roll.
All right, let's see what happens.
Ah, damn. This is just impossible. This can't be done.
I know.
You can choose to push that if you want, but you will gain a level of stress.
Yeah, I'll push it.
Normally the hammer works.
Hey, there we go. Woo!
So that is 3 successes. In Alien, all that matters is getting at least 1. Each additional success after that is just permission to make the result more, a little more fun. So with that success...
With the hammer.
So I imagine it like this. Rye runs up, climbs up onto the console, smacks it a little bit, grabs a hammer from Davis, holds it threateningly over his head, and ping, 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 everything starts working. And the map pops up on screen. This green line here shows the path that you took from the port towards the frontier. You guys are currently right about there.
Oh!
For the listeners, there was a series of concentric circles that had a green line going roughly through the middle, and then way off to the left was where we were.
They're supposed to be going due north, I mean, as far as north can be considered in space, and they ended up as far space west as they possibly can be.
Oh, space west.
We're in the wild space west.
The wild space west.
Hey, yo, why are we so off course?
I don't know either, but I think we should trust Mother.
I'm never going to get used to hearing that.
I know, it is a little bit distressing.
Speaking of distress, that call is the reason why we're here.
Well, that's just the thing. The call was a dud. At least, I think so.
What are Cham and Wilson doing? Everyone else is up on the bridge, so what are Cham and Wilson up to?
Cham is just now arriving to the med lab.
All right, everyone, thanks for waiting up for me and... Oh, where'd everybody go?
They went to the bridge, I believe. Apparently, we have a distress call that we have to worry about.
Oh, well, that's a little above my pay grade. Say, is there anything I could do for you while I'm here, Wilson?
Is the med bay still, like, full of pills and stuff?
There are still pill bottles, like, all over the floor.
Actually, there is. If you wouldn't mind cleaning this up for me, I need to go make sure that that distress call falls under company protocol.
Whatever you say, boss. And then Cham is going to lumber into the med lab and start leaning down to pick up pill bottles, and in the process, knocking down a whole bunch of equipment off of all of the shelves and tables.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh. Every time I pick up one thing, I drop three.
Yeah. I just sigh and I just,
Lincoln, help me.
And I make my way up towards the bridge, but as I'm walking, I'm also like taking notes in like a little data pad that the company provided me.
Okay, so as Wilson arrives to the bridge, you can all very much hear Cham doing his best in the med lab at cleaning up.
Oh, what? Aw, dang. All right, well, let me get this. Dang it. sorry. Who am I apologizing to?
Poor Cham.
And yeah. As the rest of you are up on the bridge, Davis, the ship begins to give another radar ping. But this time it's way closer.
Am I able to tell what kind of a ping?
At this point, it's so close that you have two options. Either check to see if the system is accurate again, or you can turn on the floodlights and see if there's something outside.
Yeah, I'm gonna look out the window.
So as you hit the button and turn on the floodlights, you see that you are in the middle of careening towards a massive starship that is derelict in space. You are two decks, this ship is easily four or five, and you are on a collision course with it.
Oh.
Davis, I need you to make me a piloting check at a -2 to avoid collision.
-2?
-2, as you are wrestling the controls of this ship.
Move the ship! Nose!
I'm literally wrestling the controls of the ship. I've got my cape on, some spandex.
Cut away to see the horrors of space coming in to collide with you, and immediately cut back and you set up a wrestling ring in spandex and a cape, and you're all wrestling with the controls.
Hey!
So, you got two successes. While you're wrestling, everyone else feels the ship pinch, but you are barely able to keep on your feet as you hear the horrible scraping sound of metal on metal as you nearly avoid collision.
Against all odds, in the interim, I managed to clean up the med bay and just managed to get everything perfectly squared away again when the ship pitches and everything spills back down on the floor.
Not only does it fall back on the floor, it falls back almost exactly how you found it when you came in. Like, exactly the same places.
Cham is just going to do a Jim from The Office look to the camera.
So, Davis, you were able to wrestle with the controls.
Wow, that was awesome!
You all take a look around, and this is what you see.
Why is there a person there?
Because that's just the official art.
Cham, no!
For the listeners, picture a very ominous spaceship.
Ominous, spooky spaceship with no lights on, floating out in space.
Looks beat to hell.
Looks like there's like a bunch of dust and debris all around it, kind of like desolated and just left alone.
She's been adrift for a long time. For those listening, if you would like to see what the ship looks like, the module we are playing is called Chariot of the Gods. This is the cover art for that. The name of the ship, as you move slowly across the side, you can see the letters written on the side, USCSS Cronus.
Ooh, okay.
Do we know anything about the Cronus? Like, is there past reports?
Here's what you know about the Cronus. This ship is old, like 100 years old. And you don't necessarily know anything about the name Cronus, but this model of ship has rarely been used for the longest time. And if something aboard this has sent a distress signal, they could still be alive if they're in hypersleep. It's going to be a very, very rough awakening from hypersleep, but you also see that the ship is kind of badly damaged. Not inoperable, but it's definitely flown through some things while it's been floating. Wilson, can I have you make an observation check for me?
Look. Look with your special eyes.
Ooh, look at that.
Ooh, very special eyes.
He's literally eagle-eyed.
American eyes.
Yeah. What do your eagle eyes see?
So yeah, you notice that this ship has an umbilical, which is designed so another ship can dock and you can kind of pass through. But you can also see through all of this that the outside of it is damaged. No, this wait, is... hold on a sec. I need to rewind a bit because I just reread my thing here and you guys do know the name Cronus. She is a Wayland vessel before it was Wayland Yutani. She was launched in the year 2110 and has been missing for 75 years. She's running low on power and everything is off. Mm. And this is definitely where that repeating distress signal was coming from.
Ooh.
While you're all looking at this relic, this history book thing that was lost and is now found again, you hear...
New orders from the corporation. The crew is to salvage and recover scientific data and samples from the USCSS Cronus, support the ship to anchor point, dock at the Wayland Yutani facility, and save crew members on board if possible.
Miss Piggy stands up, Officer Miller, stands up, fixes her wig, and, like, settles into herself.
Well, you heard Mother.
So, for that observation roll, Wilson, you see that the umbilical that they'd used to connect two ships together, the other mooring is broken, and someone is going to have to go out and fix it. Like, do a spacewalk.
Captain, the umbilical for us to dock is damaged. We need to go fix it. But I will say, since these are new orders and the fact that this ship has been missing for a grand total of 75 years, the payday that you will all receive upon returning her to a Wayland Yutani facility will be immense and very profitable.
You don't need to tell moi twice. I'll tell you what, though. It looks kind of dangerous out there. You can go.
I can't possibly go. I am not fit for space travel. Let us send Sweetums. I mean, Cham. Yes, Cham should be more than capable of fixing that. I mean, he's already fixing the medbay.
A smash crash as he's fixing the med bay.
Cut to the security camera footage of the med lab, and it's even worse.
Looking outside the window at the disarray of the ship itself, would I know specifically what needs to be done?
You know that the Montero has some EVA suits that you could use for spacewalking. It also has a cutting torch that you could use to cut away that part of the door on the Cronus umbilical, which you could then connect the ship on. Or you could just use the door to get inside the ship, because that's a ladder inside there. So you could just get in. It's a bit of an air bubble.
Okay.
So, Wilson, you're saying that there's going to be a payday in this?
Why, yes, a very, very large payday.
Well, I understand that you want to go send my buddy Cham, but how about this? Two are better than one. And if you make sure that we get a little extra, you know what I mean, then I'll go out there with him. I mean, I am the technician and all.
Or, here's another idea. You go out yourself, and you reap all the rewards.
And you just see his eyes go cha-ching, and his eyeballs just turn into, like, money signs.
I still want my cut!
Oh, don't worry, Captain. Everyone will get a cut. Just some people might get a little larger cut. And I just make another note on my data pad. Worry not, since you are the captain of the ship, you will receive the largest bonus.
That'll stop Rizzo right in his tracks.
Let's not forget the people that are actually making this possible.
You will get more than normal.
Thank you.
And he's going to go ahead and get ready.
Then from outside of the door to the bridge, you hear a banging on it as Cham says,
"Well, I got everything off the floor. I don't know that I could do much better than that. I'm
sorry if it's not exactly clean, but there's nothing on the floor."
Every piece of furniture is like super glued to the ceiling.
Listen, Cham, buddy. You did your best, and that's the best part of you.
Aw, thanks, buddy.
Well, out into space with you.
Wait, what? And then smash cut to Cham in full space gear, getting ready to be ejected from the ship.
So, Sweetums and Rizzo, I mean, Cham and Rye, the two of you go and suit up.
The best pair.
One of you is in a suit that is too big, and the other is too small.
I wonder which is which.
I'm offended. Who is this suit made for? An elephant?
You know, that's even better. So, I need the both of you to make me mobility checks, as when you open the door, the room depressurizes, oxygen flows through your helmets, and you begin to move toward the section of the Cronus. Who has a cutter to be able to open the door?
I mean, how big is the cutting torch? Because if it's bigger than me, then I assume that...
I would say it would make more sense for me to have it, since most of my stuff is in heavy machinery.
Okay.
So, you have the cutting torch. I'm just going to put that into your inventory for you.
Hey. Psst. Captain Miller.
Yeah?
What do you think about all this going on right now? You're more, level-headed than I am.
I always listen to Mother.
Oh,
right,
God.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I was really looking forward to getting back to solid ground.
Mm.
So, can I have the both Cham and Rye make mobility checks?
Oh no!
No successes from either of us.
Oh,
oh look, they're dying!
Okay, so I'll have you guys push these rolls and try again, but for everyone else, you hear the doors and the walls clang, and you can see Cham and Rye bounce off the side of the ship and start spinning like, whoa, end over end. If they weren't attached to the ship, they would just be drifting into oblivion.
What the hell?
Rye has forgotten how to spacewalk, and he's just kind of like doing the whole breaststroke.
Kicking your little feet.
Yeah, exaggerated movements, just trying to get out there.
I'm dragging my sleeves through the space sky.
All right. You said we had to push the roll, right?
Yes.
Do you want to live?
Hey.
All right. Two successes on my push.
Hell yeah, same.
All right, with two successes from Cham and one from Rye, you managed to butt up against the ship and get control of yourselves again. So Cham, since you have the cutting torch, you're going to give me heavy machinery roll. With Rye helping you, you get a plus one bonus to that.
All right, that is one success.
All right, you managed to take the cutting torch
out of so many dice.
So many dice. Welcome to this game, you guys. So you take the cutting torch and you start using it. You go all the way around and you push on the door and you realize you didn't cut all the way through.
Okay.
So you push it one more time and then you just pull and you hear really, really hard a ping. It clears and begins to drift out towards space.
I grab the floating door and very gingerly put it back in place, but it's not attached to anything, so it just starts to slowly float away again.
I'm just watching Sweetums cut through it, and he's just jumping up and down on it, even though there's, like, no gravity, but, like, it's the Muppets.
It's the Muppets!
So, he's just jumping up and down, and he's just,
come on, you're done. Get out of here. The sooner we get in there, the sooner we get paid. Come on, get out.
So you're jumping up and down on the door, and eventually it starts to float away. I need you guys to go into your power and air supply and roll to see how much those go down by.
Oh. I'm going to use my talent, the long haul. You've seen it and done it all before. Nothing surprises you anymore. Once per act, you may ignore all stress fails from a single roll.
So what that means for you is, for Rye, you would have lost 2 air supply going down to 3, but since you used that, you still remain at 5 air supply. Cham, unsurprisingly, after being out there for as long as you have lost 1 air supply, and you put that torch through its paces, so you have lost 2 power supply. So you can continue using the torch until you run out of power. Does that make sense?
Yep. So then what do the successes mean for those?
It means good job!
Cool.
So for consuming resources, you're just looking to not get a 1.
Okay, so for consumables, successes don't matter, only failures do. Okay, gotcha.
So you all watch as Cham and Rye are able to open the door, and you can see that you won't be able to get the umbilical cables across to get the ship's umbilicals connected. So you're going to have to go aboard. You can decide now if somebody's staying behind or if you're all going aboard.
I'm for sure going.
Well, I was going to say, you two are already there.
Yeah, I figured the question was pointed towards everyone that's in the bridge.
I mean, I could softball you back to the other ship.
I mean, do we need to...
Well, I would be a bad captain if I did not join the expedition. So I'll suit up in the fanciest... the spacesuit has, like... one of those collars along the back, like an Yzma collar or like a showgirl.
Give me an observation roll.
Are you saying I can't find that piece of costume?
I'm saying we'll see. Oh. There is one suit left, and it is, let's just say, held to the costume Muppet hasn't finished making it.
Oh.
Pushed it.
So you find it, but... you are the first to roll on the panic table. I need you to roll me a d6. That is a 3. So you do find your pretty spacesuit. You see just offstage/offscreen, Hilda the costume up and very hastily putting the last bits together, and she throws it on stage in you. And in that moment, you are not nearly as glamorous as you want to be. And it kind of fits you, but you're pretty sure nobody saw you struggle to put it on. Nobody saw that, right? You're the only one in the room, so surely nobody saw it.
Also, I love the deep pull of Hilda.
I've only watched through season one right now.
She's lovely.
That's still so good.
So, Miss Piggy, like, puts on the suit somewhat hurriedly, stops and looks around surreptitiously as she, like, seals the helmet on to make sure that there is nobody around to see it, makes eye contact with the audience. They laugh. She flinches. And then I will dive out into space to join the crew.
Captain Miller! Wait for me!
Hurry up, Davis!
Wilson makes his way to board the Cronus because he's also, like, tapping away on his data pad and just, like, mumbling to himself.
Oh, great! Wilson, too!
Why, yes, of course, me. I need to make sure you do this correctly per company protocol.
So as you all make your way off to the ship, you all hear Mother say as you leave,
"Don't worry, don't you worry. I'll hold down the fort here."
Okay, Mother.
And you all board the Cronus.
Oh.
So as you come aboard, you notice that all the lights are out. It is dark. It is very cold. Even through your suit, you can feel that it is really, really cold in there.
Teeth are chattering.
I've bundled and pulled together the extra fabric in my too big space suit.
And you're the fluffiest one of all of us.
Once you're all in, you shut the door, the cabin pressurizes, and then the artificial gravity establishes itself. As you walk in, the lights are out, but you do have headlamps on your helmets. But the only lights that are on are the floor runner lights. It's clearly just emergency lights. There are two doors, one to the north and one to the south. From here on, every time you go from room to room, I will have you roll for your air supply. And we are now in what is called stealth mode, because you don't know what else is aboard this ship with you.
So generally speaking, we would know about the Cronus, but we wouldn't know, let's say, the layout, right?
Yeah, you know the type of ship it is, but you don't know the exact layout yet.
Is there functional signage on the walls for, like, basic stuff?
Yeah, there are signs that point that, like, the bridge is a deck below you. You are all on the top deck. There's not a whole lot up here. It's mostly life support kind of functions.
I, the human, can see that there's a mainframe station directly to my north. Do I, the pig, know that?
Yeah, it would be this room.
Do we know what we would want to focus on going forward? Would we want to turn on supplies, like turn on air and turn on, or would we know that this plane has been out here on reserve power for so long that might be a hindrance to us?
You know that it's on emergency supplies.
Would we know how long the emergency supply is meant to last?
I mean, it's been lasting for 75 years. It will probably keep going in perpetuity until it is kicked off or kicked on again.
Oh, okay.
So it wouldn't be, like, stupid to want to turn on the air.
I was planning on that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was planning on heading towards basically like electrical power supply stuff to see if I can get the lights on and like other secondary effects to see if I can like stabilize the air, get the gravity more consistent.
Well, the gravity is turned on. There is no need for that. You're not like floating around or anything.
Okay, but definitely like lights might be a good thing to do.
Yeah. And if I can mess with the gravity, I would want to set it to the funny amount of gravity.
Yeah.
The funny amount of gravity. Is that more gravity or less gravity?
Depends.
Where is it in relation to 69?
All right, well, I'll go wherever you guys think I'll be most helpful, but I think it might be a good idea to work on some of the power stuff.
I agree. I cannot see Moa in this darkness, and that is unacceptable. Also, it's cold!
So I'll let you guys move about. Through here, there is a ladder that continues to descend to the next two decks. This map is a little funny. The top two are A and B, and the bottom two are C and D.
So we are currently on the topmost deck, right?
Yes, you are currently at the topmost deck, Junction A1. If you were to descend, you would head down to Junction B1.
Well, this helmet scratches up my nose, so I'd love to get the air going.
I guess I will start taking off then.
Which area do you want to go to, Dan?
Taking a look at the map, I would say probably the reactor core. That looks like the best bet for power stuff.
I didn't get a chance to mention this, but there was a motion tracker on board the Montero. Did anybody want to take that with them?
I'll do it.
Okay, so Wilson has the motion tracker. I will add that to your gear. You have a power supply of 5 for
that. Wilson does have his little tablet that he's been working on, so that makes sense.
Then, stupid question, how low are the ceilings?
The regulation just too low.
I mean, if they're a comfortable height too, I can make that funny too.
No, their regulation height just too low. It's only been 75 years. They haven't changed that much.
So I will make my way out first and hit my head on the door frame.
As you make your way down the hallway, is anyone else going to go with Champ?
Rai, please follow Moa. I'm going to check in the mainframe area to see what sort of things were on this ship.
So not us. We're going to go the other way.
I kind of want to check out these cryopods down here.
Where would I go to fix the air? Would I go with Champ?
Yeah, you can go with Champ.
All right, Champ.
Wilson, I will say that for now, you, Cham, and Davis are all together, and then the other two will go to the mainframe.
Okay.
You don't want a solo party split? Why ever would you not want someone by themselves in this lethal, lethal game?
So, Wilson, you pull out your motion tracker, and as you make your way out...
Ooh, uh-oh.
Hey, Wilson. What's that sound mean?
It means, by the grace of John Quincy Adams,
oh my God.
We are not alone.
Ooh.
Could be survivors, could be something else. I don't know. Let's hope it's survivors. I suggest we each go check the cryo room to see if there's any members in cryosleep. They could still be alive. These motion trackers are very highly sensitive. It could be beating hearts that they're tracking.
Whatever's tripped them, it's not there anymore.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's worse, thanks.
I want you to three to mark up one stress.
Okay, stress, yay.
Cham, you can leave your stress at the same level. You've had enough time to kind of recoup from the spacewalk, so you lost one, you gained one. You're staying the same.
Okay.
Can I, from my, like, the one item that my character came prepackaged with, the pills that I had on me already, not the pills that I picked up, grab a pill to reduce my stress by one then?
You can, if you think that this is important enough a time to do so, but you only get to do that once per session.
Mm-hmm. I'll look at it. I'll stare at it, and I'll put it back in my pocket, just in case.
So for our other group, Rizzo and Pinky, Ryan Miller, you come to the door to the mainframe room, and it is locked tight. It requires keycard access.
Do I happen to have a key card?
No, you do not. You have a key card for the Montero, but not the one that will work on the Cronus.
Are they not like universal? Like I'm not generally important enough? Like, ooh, I'm so important.
No, you're not.
Oh, well.
Miss Piggy would think so.
The other thing, too, is this ship is over 75 years old.
It's obviously not up to date for how important Miss Piggy is.
Does it appear as though it would be hackable for my dear Rye friend?
Ooh.
My technologically minded companion.
Really?
I mean, we may as well try it.
Would you please?
And then Miss Piggy gestures at the scanner. Can you, Grayson, at all? Is that doable?
The lock itself is basically just a keycard scanner. There's not really anything to hack.
Is there any, like, electrical panel that he can, like, crawl into and rat his way through the wires?
Give me a contact roll -3.
Oh.
If you want to do this.
Yeah, I don't know if I really trust you at all.
If there is something valuable, I will happily split it with you.
I want it noted that there is a vestibule in here, there is a hallway, and both doors are independently locked. So if he does manage to get through here, he will have to do it again.
Hey, so, Miller, I know that you want me to get in here, but here's the problem. We're going to be coming against two doors. I don't exactly have all my tools. They're back at the other ship. So I want to say that maybe if we can get that cutter that Cham actually has, we probably have a better idea trying to get through this door and the next one.
I would rather not involve all of the crew in this.
Yeah, we don't have to do that.
But, fine, maybe we can look for whoever's scanner this is. It's 75 years old, they could be dead.
He just kind of shudders.
Well, I suppose we should get moving onto like other things instead of just standing around and waiting doing nothing.
How about you go check?
Oh, man, where do I want to send you?
I mean, I was going to head towards where he saw Cham head out to.
Fine. You can go check back in with Cham.
All right.
I'm going to head to the bridge or to the, like, command center. Look for a corpse with a key.
Miss Piggy, as you turn around and head to the junction, all of a sudden you hear a familiar voice.
Restarting power.
You hear everything clunk and clatter, and all of a sudden, all the lights kick on. The power starts to engage, life support systems start back up, and you all start to see vapor pouring in as things start to heat up, and probably from detecting your movement, Mother has kicked back on and the ship is starting to come alive again.
Thank you, Mother.
Well, I guess that makes my mission redundant then. Good work, everyone.
I'm sure it was your motion that the ship detected. You're the biggest in motionless.
Every single time you go through a door, clang, 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 across the ceiling.
Oh.
He has a helmet. It's fine.
And he's used to it.
So the three of you are heading down. What about the others? I know you have Miss Piggy heading to the command deck.
I'm going
to
go look for a corpse with a key.
Yeah. What supports are being kicked back on?
Life supports. Lights turn on and heat kicks back on.
Is air good?
Air is coming back, but your suit is telling you that it is unsuitable to be breathed.
Okay.
So it needs more time before...
As far as you know, it'll probably take a little time to get going and filter itself through.
Okay. So it's just a matter of time. I don't need to go to, like, the air scrubber shaft or anything like that. Okay.
So, Davis, where do you want to go?
I guess I was heading with Sam anyway, so I'll follow him.
I guess I will follow as well.
As the three of you make your way down this hallway, you see the door to the cryo chambers. It has scratch marks all over it. Something was clawing at this to get inside.
To get in or get out?
To get in. These are on the outside of the door.
Are they like animal or like fingernail scratches?
They are claw marks.
Are they like animal? Are they Janus? Are they Dr. Teeth?
Are they Dr. Teeth?
So Grayson, as you come back, you see that the door to the cryo chamber has claw marks on it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Rye, would you think it important to make sure that Captain Miller's okay?
As she said, she's fine. She's gonna go look for some key card.
Okay.
Besides, she did send me to go get Cham.
Oh, what did the captain want with me?
It could be done later. We gotta go take care of this first.
Traitor!
I'm getting some mixed signals from you.
On a scale from Rizzo to Sweetums, how big are we looking?
Animal-sized.
Animal-sized?
Animal the drummer-sized?
Animal the drummer-sized.
Okay.
Is there a particular cryo that has claw marks, or is it just all of them?
It's one trying to get in, so I'm thinking it's this door that we're facing.
Got you.
So this door is currently unlocked, but beyond it, the doors for Cryo 1 and Cryo 2 are unlocked. Cryo 3 has been locked.
Ah, you can tell because of the big ol' lock symbol.
Well, whoever's clawing on this was kind of silly. The door is unlocked.
Can we see inside of Cryo 3?
There is a small window that you can look through. Unfortunately, though, there was some condensation when the ship went offline, so the window is frosted over and you can't see inside quite well. Captain Miller, where are you off to?
I'm heading north, just walking on out. Looks like the bridge and command station is pretty close off the junction.
So as you come to the bridge, you find that it is in complete and total disarray. You see that the sensor station has been completely set on fire.
Oh.
Somebody lit it on fire.
Damn.
Life support systems are flashing red with a warning saying carbon filters need replacing.
All right.
Pilot Station 1 has an X over it, and Pilot Station 2 is just non-functional, despite the fact the power is back online. Down below the staircase is the command station. Usually, this is where the captain would be. This is where you would most likely find the key card, but unfortunately, the key is still missing.
With the power back on, is the power on, like, for realsies for real? Not just, like, some heat, some air, but, like, can I turn on, like, the command station computer, stuff like that, review anything?
Yes, you can turn on the command station computer.
I will turn it on.
So as you turn it on, the system kind of lights up and you see some logs that you'll need to do some fiddling with if you want to get into.
Lore.
Yes.
Okay, give me a comm tech roll for that.
You bet your ass.
Hey.
A classic move. So just so everyone knows, I failed miserably, but then I pushed it and I succeeded miserably.
Yeah.
So you succeeded, but you're going to roll on the panic table. Roll me a d6, add 3 this time.
Oh. Miss Piggy, what did you do?
That will be a 1 plus 3.
I need to make you roll better so I can use the fun effects on the panic table, because for now, you're still just fine. You're still just keeping it together. It's really just the eyes of the audience on you as you tackle this thing and look over your shoulder, type, and the screen lights up.
That's my recovery noise.
So the panel is kind of smashed and cracked, so it's hard to see, but you are able to find out is that they were on a distant, uncharted planet in the 26th Draconis system.
Interesting. Okay, so unmarked mission, you said? Like, ooh, who knows?
Secret, but sanctioned, and it was at a distant, uncharted planet in the 26th Draconis system.
In the Dungeons and Draconis system.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I will put... We have radios, I assume, right? To talk to each other?
Yeah, your suits have comms between them.
Cool. I'll put on open channel.
Hello, everyone. It seems as though we're going to need the carbon dioxide filters to be fixed so that we can breathe. So please do that.
But then I'm going to put on only Rise comm link.
Interesting.
God damn it.
It seems as though this ship was doing something highly lucrative and very secret.
God damn it.
We should figure out where that is, and we should take it.
Hey, Miller, so how about if you can try and get into that computer thing and see if there's any, like, checks to, you know, like, whenever the keycard gets swiped, there's usually...
Before
some...
you say anything too incriminating, what comm are you on, Rye?
Hey, Officer Miller! Everybody's things are lighting up.
I assume that it was the private channel.
I would assume so, too, but it would sure be funny.
It would be funny.
Yeah, sure. He responds. He responds in the public channel.
If we can, maybe swipe your key card, and then it, like, you know, says, hey, so-and-so entered here. Oh, wait, shit. What channel was that?
Back to the open channel.
Good idea, right?
Back to the main group. As you all enter the vestibule for the cryopods, the door to cryopod 1 reacts to the motion and opens up. And slumped in the corner, with its back against the wall facing you, you see a body. In its hands are a shotgun, pointed up where its head used to be.
Oh!
And I need everyone here to roll me a d6 and add their current stress to that.
Oh! I wasn't even in the room.
When you say add our current stress, add to the value or add to the number of dice?
To the value.
Okay.
So mine's going to be +5. Or, sorry, not +5, but it's going to be 5 total.
God damn.
Holy shit. I was like, oh, whoa. Ryze had a rough day.
4 for me.
4 for me.
6.
Okay, so as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
So for the audience, I told them that whenever they wanted, any of them could chime in as Statler and Waldorf and heckle.
Brilliant. So, guy on wall slumped, shotgun, blue head open. Is anyone gonna grab it? I kind of want to grab the shotgun.
I ain't going in there.
Gonzo shrugs.
I think Gonzo take the shotgun.
Yeah.
That's crazy, but hey, neat. It's like a tiny cannon.
It makes sense now.
Oh, sweet liberty, this poor soul. He sacrificed himself for America. I mean, Weyland Yutani.
Okay, so Gonzo, you go up and you pick up the shotgun off of this body. The hands are still gripped tight around it. But since it's been there for so long in the cold, it hasn't fully decayed. So kind of mummified, and as you pull the gun away, you hear it creaking and cracking as the hands fall free.
Ah, you have a brand, I see.
Crunchy.
Shut up. You hear somewhere in the distance,
don't take my gun from me.
Oh.
It's Dead Tom.
Dead Tom?
Yeah, from Treasure Island.
From Muppet Treasure Island. Can I check Dead Tom's pockets?
You check Dead Tom's pockets and you find a syringe.
I thought you were going to say key card for a second. I was going to lose my fucking mind.
Interesting. I will take the syringe.
As you are all in there, you hear the clunk of the Cryo 3 door, and you hear Mother come in and say,
warning, cryo chamber deactivating.
And the door to cryo chamber 3 opens.
Is the shotgun loaded?
Yeah, it's loaded.
Sweet. That's so kind of Dead Tom to reload it.
As there's a ka-chunk, Rizzo is going to
yay!
And run out and hide along the side of the corner and just kind of like peek his eyes over, and all you see is just the two little eyes, but it's like the worry signs for like your eyebrows.
The door opens and you watch as 6 cryopods begin to disengage and slide open.
Hey, we're gonna save the crew!
Hey! A job well done, guys.
If only they could save us from this terrible show!
Carry on.
You watch as 6 people drag themselves out. For you, it was really easy recovery. You were groggy and dehydrated, but these people have been asleep for 75 years. They lift themselves up and immediately collapse to the floor, trembling, coughing, wheezing. They are not in good shape.
And the air is still unsafe to breathe, correct?
It is pretty gross. There's a lot of compounds that are just, like, floating in the air.
Hey. You guys all right?
Help. Please. If you want to help, make me a medical aid check.
Oh, damn, mine's really good. Sorry I'm not there, guys.
Mine's is okay.
Mine's kind of...
Well, I mean, it's something. If you guys can get them maybe to the med lab,
Do they look not safe to touch?
For you or for them?
Yes.
For you, they're fine, but they are very frail, very weak, and you would probably need help to move them.
Okay. Well, I'm made out of felt, so I should be okay. I shouldn't damage them in theory. Okay. I'll go into the scary cryo chamber and help them out.
Okay, so you have five people. You have one Gonzo.
One Gonzo?
Yeah, Sweetums will pick them up.
For Sweetums, I'll say you can carry two of them.
That makes sense.
So we have Sweetums carrying two, Gonzo carrying one. Are Sam Eagle and Rizzo helping carry the others?
Yeah, I'll help.
If there is one that is my size, I will drag them across the floor, because...
Yeah.
Just dragging by the feet across the floor.
Grayson, you hear one of them say... Med lab Dexy off limits.
The med lab is on deck B, actually. I can see it. I hope someone gets fired for that blunder.
So there are two elevators. One of them you see, the door is slightly ajar. The shaft is completely empty, and there are several severed pipes.
Well, it's a good thing that Rizzo started going the other way.
The other one, you press the call button, and you hear the ship sending a car up.
So Rizzo's gonna, like, drop the feet of the person that he's been dragging on the floor and jump up and just...
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
I have to say, this is improper way the Newtonian protocol. You're not supposed to be discharging weapons in the ship.
Sam, now that you're carrying a crew member, you feel him reaching for his head and he says, "My head! It hurts!"
Hey, Wilson, why don't you give him some of your migraine medication?
The elevator is waiting for you guys.
Oh, yeah, okay, we get in the elevator, and do I have any of my migraine medication left, my headache medication?
I'll say you have one dose, so one pill left.
Okay, I give it to my guy.
He is currently way too weak to be able to take it.
Kiss it onto him.
Baby bird it.
I was just going to say, baby bird it.
You know what? Fudge it, I baby bird it.
Oh, yeah.
So this man, who has been in cryosleep for 75 years, his mouth is dry, his lips are chapped, his breath is terrible. You put the pill in your beak and you lean in and kiss him.
And I just like shake to make sure it goes down his gullet, and I like lift his head up, and I go, and I just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
The American way.
Yeah, the American way. I force it down.
So you guys and your group of new friends, we'll call them that, you descend in the elevator to deck B, and you come out and see what is more or less the public areas of the ship, and it is in a state.
Wow, it looks like Crazy Harry kind of went through this place.
Yeah, you know that's accurate.
Do we see the lines that would say, like, med lab, like directional signposting?
Yeah, you see signs that are pointing toward the med lab.
Okay.
So, I guess the thing that I got out of this thing so far is that, did anyone else get a little, I don't know, uncomfortable with the whole kiss thing? Because I was thinking about going to HR.
I thought it was beautiful.
It wasn't anything in romantic. It was me administering medicine in a way that I know how. It's actually part of the rulebook.
As I, like, take out the data pad and swing by, it's like,
see? Subsection 94, subsection 32, and paragraph C states that any surviving medical attention by any means necessary, including baby bird.
We have all already made our way to the med lab and just left Wilson behind as he's rambling through the rules.
You continue to hear down the hall, "Please stop. It hurts."
It shouldn't hurt. I gave you headache medication.
Then for those of you in the med bay, everyone make me a medical aid check, and I'll give you a +1.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shoot. Three successes.
I know. Holy shit. Damn.
And that's our champ, saving everybody's necks.
Oh, you guys.
So, Sweetums, as you set your two guys down on some gurneys, you look around and the place is an absolute mess. Complete and total disarray. You can see in the back there are two med pods, one of which is broken with dried blood, and the other has a body inside. You also see on one of the shelves are specimen jars. There are five of these jars, and they are filled with some bizarre alien thing.
Roll credits.
Floating in this substance, these black pods just sitting in these bottles. And the last thing you see, this large metallic black urn. There's enough room in the lab to put everybody in here to carry them in, but it's got this bizarre alien thing that you've never seen before, that as far as you know, nobody has ever seen before. With your medical aid rolls, I will say that for Sweetums, you are able to, as you just turn around and oop, you just happen to knock over the proper medications onto them and start the healing process. It just falls into their mouths and starts helping them recover.
Sweet.
Yes, Sweetums.
Oh, sorry. So sorry about that. Oh, whoops. Pardon me. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Gonzo, you happen to notice this happening and are able to identify the right bottles and give your person one.
Hey.
Wilson, same thing. You take a bottle and pass it around and everyone starts to come to their senses and recover. Rizzo.
Yes?
You start to reach for the jar or the urn. Which one do you reach for?
Which one was shiny?
The urn.
I'm going to go for the urn.
So you reach for the urn thinking it's got to be some kind of medicine, right?
I was going to say something valuable, but yeah.
Oh, something valuable. Okay. As you see everyone is starting to recover, your eyes lock on this urn, and you can see that you could twist it open.
It almost looks like this thing comes off.
So as you look inside, you see four glass vials with black liquid that is moving and shifting, constantly undulating. Oh. Three of these vials are intact, and one of them has been broken.
Hey, anyone else see that movie Venom? That old classic? This stuff almost reminds me of that.
And he's gonna think of that movie, but avoid the one that's broken, and focus on the ones that are kind of like sloshing around, and think to himself, if this is something that's never been noticed before, maybe he can make a buck off of it on the black market or something.
Well, I'll leave all of you guys to figure this out. I'm gonna go see if I can get the air a bit better filtered.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, you'll be able to make your way towards the air scrubber shaft. You'll have to use the vent to get inside, though.
It's a big vent.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a big vent. You stretch the bars around you to get in. While all of this is happening, Captain Miller, what are you doing?
First, I'm going to head towards the corporate suite, still looking for that key card because I have to be reunited with Mother. But on my way down, I just so happen to notice, does this say armory?
It does say armory.
Is the door unlocked? Can I...
The door actually is unlocked.
I would like to be strapped. What I'm saying is I'm looking to strap up.
So as you enter the armory, this is also where the emergency escape pods are. And they are empty.
Like launched, not like a bunch of fun, empty, free-to-use escape pods.
They have been launched, yes.
Okay, well that's not great.
Inside the armory, you find a classic Colonial Marine pulse rifle.
Oh, Sam would love this!
You also find a couple of shotgun shells, and very troublingly, you find that the room has been splattered with white blood.
Oh. Well, I'm definitely strapping up now. I'm taking any weapon or weapon-related object, all the ammo and stuff, I'm hoarding it. It's all mine.
As you strap up and take the stuff, you make your way out and are confronted with a young woman. And she looks to be in her early 30s, and she just stands there and stares at you.
Oh, I know that my beauty can be very encouraging, but please step out of the way.
You're not part of the crew.
No, we're here to rescue you.
She just looks at you and blinks slowly.
Oh, God.
Do the eyes blink in sequence, or is it like blink, blink?
No, she frog blinks.
Wait, frog blinks?
No.
Yeah. Oh, charming.
Oh, yeah. She'd be into it.
Kermie?
Poor choice of words.
Never mind. They're in love now.
I would like to ingratiate myself to this person. I will blink at them the same way. I will imply that perhaps we are not so dissimilar.
As you look at her more, you realize that there is a blood stain on her stomach, except that, like with the room, it's not red, it's white. She is a synthetic. She's a robot.
Oh.
I would still like to make the play I was going to make.
She just kind of looks at you.
I adjust my wig while she's looking at me.
You're here to save the crew?
And whatever else is on board.
I don't think you should save what else is on board.
Well, you're what else is on board as well, sweet cheeks, so.
She twitches and looks really damaged, like she has just been wandering for 75 years. The safety of the crew is paramount.
Great, then move.
She turns and says, I hear activity in the med lab. And she starts to make her way towards the med lab. Sweetums, you are making your way toward the air scrubber shaft, right?
Yeah, I'm prying the bars of the air vents apart and squeezing my way into a conveniently large air tunnel.
And Rizzo's just following behind.
As you make your way into the air scrubber, you hear it rattle, and it is incredibly loud and very difficult to hear anything. You can see that down below, on deck C, there is a pool of water, and this whole thing runs on electrolysis.
I know what that is.
Don't go into that water. You will, in fact, be electrocuted.
Yes, bad times.
It is all the way down. There are two decks there. So, seeing the state that these filters are in, you can tell that this is not going to be a fast process. I haven't talked about time in this game, but there are turns, rounds, and shifts. Turns are a few seconds, rounds are a few minutes, shifts are a few hours, and this is going to take at least a shift.
Well, air is important, so...
Air is important.
With there being two of us, does that cut it down?
Two of you won't make it faster, but if you're going to get involved, you can assist with the heavy machinery rolls and make those a little easier.
So make a heavy machinery roll?
Well, before that, what do you do when you enter the shaft?
Well, the first thing that I do is I look to see the condition that everything is in, which you said that the carbon filters look like they need to be replaced. Are the materials to replace it within the shaft, or would I have to leave to go get the materials?
It's less being replaced than it is they need to be cleaned. They are covered in decades of mold and dust.
Okay, and is there anything in here that I could use to, like, scrape away at them, or...
You have some, like, hand tools.
Is there a power washer?
There is not, in fact, a power washer.
Damn it.
Oh, I do have the cutting torch, but...
You do, but I don't think that's necessarily gonna help.
You don't think it's a good idea to incinerate the air?
I mean, probably not the best move. So, who's going to be doing the heavy machinery rolls?
It's absolutely going to be me.
Okay.
So, what is Rye going to be doing to help Cham with this?
How are you going to be cleaning it? Do you know?
I think I will be scraping away at the mold and, like, maybe using... The tricky thing would be, like, how to dispose of what gets taken off of it.
You can just drop it into the water and it'll get electrocuted.
Okay, yeah. So, I'm just going to... So, I will just scrape and drop...
What I would say Rizzo is probably doing is holding the filter so that way it doesn't fall into the water, and then also making sure that, like, we get all the gunk off of it. So every now and then just, like, shakes it just a little bit so that way we can, like, kick it off to the side into the water.
Doing just quality assurance stuff, being a second set of eyes.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, give me heavy machinery roll plus one because Rye is helping.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So, for the listeners, Dan just rolled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 dice and had not a single 6 among them.
Wow.
Oh, but there's so many
fives. There's so many fives. I'm going to push that roll.
Please do. Dear god.
Oh, hey.
There we go. 3 successes on that push.
So, with that successful push, It's going to take a couple of hours, and as it happens, there's a bunch of gunk that kind of covers what you use to scrape away from the filters, and you have to frequently stop to shake it off the tool to keep it usable. As you shake the filters, a bunch of gunk and goop fall out. Some dust particles fly into the air, and you kind of dust them away with your hand. Mm. It's just generally gross.
Nasty.
As some of the dust settles, you see some of the gunky things fall into the water below with a pretty good splash. Now, let's cut to the corporate suite.
I'm still looking for whatever the key card would be to get me in to see Mother. I assume that this is the highest ranking zone where it might be here.
Give me an observation check.
But it's so bad. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Oh, hell yeah. I find everything. I've got 5 successes. I find the alien.
Wow. Oh, I don't know if that's a success.
So you look around and you see under the bed, you see 5 stims of very clearly illegal drugs.
Aw, sweet.
You also see that there is a small safe.
Interesting. Is it something I can attempt to break into?
With a -3 comtech check.
So I only get 2 dice for comtech. If I get -3, does that mean I don't get to roll?
Well, you get to roll with your stress dice.
Ah, hell, why not? Oh my god, look at that, guys. Wow. Jesus Christ. It appears that D&D is the only system I suck in.
So as you open this safe, you see, first and foremost, $1 million.
No.
Oh,
that's going right in the pocket.
No.
It's all going right in my, like, Miss Piggy cleavage, like down the front dress, boot pocket.
Adjusted for inflation, that's like 500 whole dollars. Oh.
Damn.
Hey, it's something.
You also find a small dossier that says LV-1113 incident.
I would like to read this, thank you.
As you read that, I will cut back to Jordan and Ben.
No, the lore!
So, back in the med lab, the crew is coming to, and they look a little more recovered. Closer to how you did when you were coming out of cryosleep. And the guy that was complaining about his head hurting is still just grabbing at his head and is like, it hurts! And as you look at him, surrounded by everyone else, nobody else is really complaining about a migraine or anything like that. It's just this guy.
I lean over to the guy that I dragged in and was like,
hey, what's your buddy's deal?
Give him a little slap on the face with my Muppet hand.
So you see this guy. He has a long, shaggy kind of mustache and beard goatee combo going on.
How long?
Not terribly long. He just looks like he hasn't taken care of his face in a while. And your guy says, Cooper, are you okay?
I think I'm okay. Just really hurts. Sorry, I'll be... Just peachy keen, just in just a little bit, I promise.
And he kind of gets up and staggers towards the door, makes his way outside. The rest of the crew is still there, and they're all kind of recovering. So the guy that you were just slapping kind of straightens up a bit and goes, John's second in command. He looks around at the crew and goes, first in command of the Cronus. Are you here to help us?
Yeah. We were just kind of flying by a little off course and we got an emergency signal.
How long has it been?
It has been 75 years since the last made contact with this ship.
As you say that, they all freeze. John says, there's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way that I said 75 years, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records. Oh, by the way, it's Weyland-Yutani now, not just Weyland. And this ship has been missing for that amount of time.
They all kind of, like, turn to each other and start muttering. And I think I'm gonna do the thing.
The thing?
So... Cooper, who is this guy?
Oh, Headache Man.
Yes, Headache Man.
Is that also John? Is that John Cooper?
No, those are two different guys. There's Cooper, Johns, Reed, Flynn, and...
Sigourney.
And Sigourney! This last one is Clayton. They're all sitting and looking warily at each other, and outside you hear Cooper kind of muttering to himself.
It's not going to happen. What could be the problem? It's going to be perfect. I'm going to be fine. It's just... And he slams against the wall. Make it stop!
And he is shouting. Even Captain Miller can hear him from down the hall. Make it stop! It hurts!
He must be watching the show.
I love this.
Way to break all the tension of this moment. I mean this seriously. I love it. Delightful. But no, you hear this guy who is slamming into the walls, holding his head. What is Captain Miller doing?
Well, I'm already like in an off room. So I'm hearing a bunch of screaming. I assume I identify that it's not one of mine because mine are fucking Muppets. So I'm being shady. I'm trying to read. I see a thing labeled EEV here, but it looks positioned as if it would be like a closet. Can I just like...
It is a closet.
I will dip into the closet and I'll...
It is a locked closet.
It's locked.
Closets don't get locked.
Only special closets get locked.
I know, damn.
Super
all right.
Sus.
I will, general safety tip here. I'll tuck like up against the wall next to the door and sit down to ignore it and read. As far as I know, my crew is not literally like 5 feet away, so I assume there's some screaming guy and also a weird robot that might just kill him, so it all could work out.
So, Davis and Wilson, how are you reacting to all of this?
Excuse me, Madam Robot Lady?
And I like tug at like her jacket, because I imagine I'm half her height.
And Ava looks down to see you.
Do you mind checking on the screaming man outside?
And as you say that, he actually bursts back into the room.
What? Never mind.
You see him screaming and starting to convulse. He falls to the ground and his eyes roll back in his head. Oh. And I get to read a fun description now. Are you guys ready? Blood seeps out of Cooper's nose and ears. Oh. Bloody eyes roll over white as the scientist convulses and writhes against the wall. As you and your crew rush to hold the man down, you notice that the Cronus crew back away instead. Busy trying to help the convulsing scientist, you don't stop to ask why. In the depths of a seizure now, Cooper flails about at everything and everyone. With a sickening pop and a bloody splash, his eyeball launches from his face and smacks into Wilson.
No!
Before
bouncing across the floor and rolling under a cry or two.
This time you pause, trying to process exactly what it is you are seeing. A slender, gore-covered arm pushes its way out of Cooper's empty eye socket, reaches around, and tugs at his distended mouth. As spindly white fingers yank his teeth back, Cooper does not scream. It's clear that he isn't in his own head anymore. Something else is, and it wants out.
No!
Flesh tears and tendons snap as the thing inside his splintering skull pulls his face apart right at the jawline. Finally, a thick gurgling sound wells up inside Cooper as his head is ripped from his body, his neck gushing as whatever was inside him plops to the floor in a burst of blood. Kill it! Kill it now! Someone yells. The translucent white thing on the floor sloughs off its placenta, struggling to stand on all four wobbly fawn-like legs, shaking brain matter from its spiky hide. The bloodburster turns its bulbous, eyeless head towards you and crouches. And I need Wilson and Davis to draw me initiative cards.
Oh my god.
Guys.
Okay. I look at Wilson. I look at the crew. And I just go,
Abraham Lincoln's beard!
I'm in the air shaft just scraping filters and singing to myself.
Do 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 do.
Phenomena.
Do 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 do.
Phenomena.
I'm trying to get you a picture of what you're going to encounter. This is what just popped out of his skull.
shit.
Okay, so for the listeners, it looks like...
It's an alien. It's a lot of gross, slimy alien.
It looks like in Harry Potter 7, the, like, Voldemort fetus in the white... in the white train station. It looks like that, but on all fours and with a tail.
And covered in blood.
Oh, nice.
Editor Dan here. If you want an actual picture and you're not squeamish about gore, Google Alien Bloodburster.
So what initiatives did you draw?
I drew a 5.
1.
The alien drew 6 and 7. It is lowest first, so Gonzo, then Sam, and then the alien acts 2 times before you can go again.
No!
I'll tell you what lesson I've learned from all this. When in a horror scenario, go out alone.
Oh, yeah. It's working great.
This is the safest I've ever been.
I feel shockingly safe in the air shaft.
I know.
Which you would think would be one of the more deadly places.
So for combat, you have fast and slow actions. You can shoot as a slow action. You can start to, like, run away as quick action and stuff like that. You get 1 fast action and 1 slow action. Or 2 fast actions.
So it's fast or fast slow,
yes. But
not too slow. Okay, so I could shoot with the shotgun and then run?
Absolutely.
Okay, I would like to shoot this little slimy nasty thing with the shotgun, and then to flavor how I run away, I would like to be blasted the opposite direction.
So you are making a ranged attack. So roll your ranged attack skill and add 2 to it because you are using the shotgun.
Okay, sweet. So ranged combat.
Oh, look at that.
Hi, holy hell.
Jesus, Jordan. You're going to destroy my poor little monster.
It's either it or me. I don't have any health.
As this gross, slimy guy plops out, it is literally covered in this guy's blood. His head is gone. It slowly turns to look at you, and just in a panic, you shoot the shotgun, and it splatters against the wall.
And I also go flying backwards, because I'm like, what, 2 pounds soaking wet?
You deal an almost fatal blow, and it hisses and starts to flee. Sam, you are next. What are you going to try to do?
I would appreciate it if you don't let it get away.
Letting it get away would be un-American.
Yeah, letting it get away would be un-American. I'm going to try and grapple attack him.
I'll say that you're close enough to do that, so give me a close combat.
I don't like how the way you said that.
I know.
Let's Ooh. Go, Sam!
Oh, hell yeah!
So you manage to grab this thing, and its tail wraps around your arm, and it starts shrieking and hissing and making these awful noises. And while it has you, and it is very, very close, it's going to make its first attack.
Sam!
In the name of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, shut up!
So, Sam, as you hold this thing, this horrible little creature, it manages to wiggle and get into just the position where it takes its jaws, snaps at your neck, and you watch its lips peel back, and its jaws extend just enough to bite into your neck.
Oh, no.
Clean and rip away and try to tear out your throat.
No!
So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh!
8 base dice to hit. Ooh, you are so lucky. If any one of those had succeeded, you would have had your jugular ripped out and died instantly.
Oh my god.
So it bites into the skin and rips the fabric off, and it goes in for its second initiative.
Oh, don't you dare.
Oh,
no.
And this time it finds purchase. It immediately bites your neck and begins to rip your jugular.
Oh, God.
Blood is going everywhere. Stuffing is flying out. You drop the thing and immediately put your wing to your neck.
Oh, sweet liberty.
If you are not saved in the next round, you will die. So back over to Jordan. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to decide. Are you chasing after the alien with a shotgun, which is still loaded and ready to be fired? Or are you going to help Sam?
Question, what?
Five,
why aren't any of these guys
four,
doing anything? I'm
3, 2.
Gotta shoot it.
You're gonna shoot at it. Okay.
I'm shooting it. Yeah.
Then you watch Sam drop to the floor with blood and stuffing falling out of his neck. The other old crew members rush to try and stabilize him. I'll have the medic in particular do a medical check.
I'm sorry, America.
Yeah, there's like 5 of them. Like.
Yeah, I'm like, they're just sitting there picking their noses.
What do you expect?
Something better.
Same.
So the medic had a 7 to medical aid. He rolled 6 successes, so he managed to scoop the stuffing and is sewing him shut. Sam, you will survive at 1 HP.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell all right. Yeah.
Okay, and then I roll to shoot?
Yes.
Shoot it. We'll take it.
So one more time, you manage to get the shotgun off, and you fire it, and this time, you watch as the creature turns, and you hit it right in its eyes. It should be, and it will explode, and its head is obliterated.
Oh, let's go, Gonzo!
Boom shakalaka!
Its blood begins to seep into the ground, and you hear hissing as it's eating into the metal panels on the ground.
All right. I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
It's time to play the music.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien.
It's time to light the light.
Based on Free League's Alien TTRPG module, Chariot of the Gods. Hosted and GM'd by Daniel Cruz, with artwork by Jordan Nelson and editing by myself. Our cast was myself, Danger Dan Jurs, as Sweetums, as Lyran Cham. Jordan Nelson, as Gonzo the Great, as Leah Davis. Aaron Coffold, as Miss Piggy, as Vanessa Miller. Ben Magnet, as Sam Eagle, as John Wilson. And Grayson Norman, as Rizzo the Rat, as Kayla Rye.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time.
Our theme song and outro was created and performed by Nicole Carino. Additional music was provided by Sounds Monarch and by Kaz Creative Arts. Listen to more bonus content like this only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to get things started. It's time. Why don't you get things started? It's time.
So you're able to use to your flashlight beams to faintly see... What is... Sorry.
Unbelievable.
How dare.
How dare.
Somebody's touching my cods.
Who's touching your cods?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize. I was just exploring.
Never forgive.
Well, he mentioned cod, so my guess is it's Lou Zealand and his boomerang herring.
Damn. Yeah, you got me, Dan.
Damn it. Oh, there goes everything.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know who
It's that yellow guy with the mustache who's constantly throwing fish.
Oh, right. Damn, and I thought I had a deep cut with Hilda.